Welcome to Technoi Live. We're back in studio at WGN talking with Chicago's top entrepreneurs, founders, and innovators. For those of you tuning in for the first time, what is Technoi? Put simply, Technoi is where startups go to showcase. Since 2010, nearly 300 startups have been featured, and they have now gone on to date to raise over $260 million in funding. I guess we'll jump into it. I mean, this is a good point. So that you've been listening to the voice of Matthew Sweet Lou Luzader, who is a partner at Kelly Dry Warren LLP, which I just gave you the new Sweet Lou name. That's your new nickname. I'm sorry.
I like it.
Great. I'm glad. I always like when people enjoy the nicknames that I give them. You travel all over the world. Also, I will add that as an attorney, you get to see lots and lots of different cool, unique things, which you probably can't talk about here. But what are you seeing in the world of tech as you travel to Poland? I mean, last time I've talked, you were in Poland, you're in South America. I know that one's a continent and one's not. But, you know, what are you seeing outside of Chicago and the country as a whole?
So I'll start with a boilerplate here. Anything I'm talking about right now is not and should not be construed as legal advice. This is just, you know, my own opinion.
Always got to protect yourself.
On what I'm seeing. You know, the thing that struck me about Asia, and I was recently in Japan, was just simply the ubiquity of the mobile apps. And, you know, we think here that we've got everything integrated into our smartphone. There, they've got applications. They can do everything from their phone. They can, you know, seamlessly book their ticket, pay for their ticket to a movie, pick up their concessions. It's kind of hard to describe in words, but just sort of the integration of services is, I would say 5 to 10 years above where we are now. You know, in terms of other stuff that I'm seeing trend wise, is a lot of it is on the customer service side of things. I'm seeing a lot of companies moving operations to Eastern Europe. I mean, that's the reason that I'm in Poland and other parts of Eastern Europe, is because there you have a very high standard of living for people that, frankly, it's half the cost of running something like a call center, operation center, that you would have in the U.S., and you have a much higher level of education. So over there, where, you know, in a position for sort of your first level call analyst, dealing with customer complaints, you know, maybe you'd have 30% people would have a bachelor's degree over there. I've got like 80%.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, speaking to that, we had on this show, as well as I had dinner with, was joined by the Chicago Council. They had a couple of different people coming in from China as fellows and talking about, obviously, Japan and China are quite different, but talking just about the advancement of what they're working on. And obviously there's a lot of news around the fact that they're trying to invest a lot of money in outside of China and startups and tech and so forth. But, I guess I don't know how to put this in a way that doesn't sound that makes sense. He came here and we were expecting to ask him, you know, as like typical Americans, you know, we know everything. So we're like, what do you think of this amazing technology you're seeing here in Chicago? You know, you can order food here with an iPad, you know. Ooh. And we had this like look on our face, and he was literally like, I feel like I went back 5 years in time. It was literally what he said. And that sort of doesn't. We talk all the time about, you know, I just mentioned about how the advancement of the tech community in Chicago has been, but the amount of tech, and not just the amount of it, but the integration of tech in a lot of the Asian countries is just really unfathomable from this standpoint. The only thing I would love to ask you about, if you ventured this far out in to see it, but what he mentioned was the fact that the adaptation is really, really centered in like their major cities. It's everyone's an adopter. And then as soon as you go outside of the major cities and into more rural, it's like they don't even know what a phone is. Like there's just, it's total disconnect. I was curious if you ventured out far enough to see if there's a big difference. Like here in America, our major cities, of course, are the hubs, but outside of the cities, it's still relatively.
I think the focus on what they're doing with it. You know, so over Christmas, I spent, you know, quite a bit of time up in the Andes, you know, outside of, you know, the biggest city in the area is Cusco, and everyone there has a mobile phone, and you can always get connection over there, out there. Now, what are they doing? Are they ordering, you know, an Uber ride? No. Are they ordering food off of it? No. But it's certainly there, and you've got the infrastructure built for things in the future as their standard of living increases and more stuff becomes available to them. You know, in terms of a generalization of where it's going, I think it's sort of an ever expanding blob outside of the urban centers where people want those services on their mobile phones. And, you know, eventually you'll be in a, you know, my mother-in-law lives in Pisac, which is a small village outside of Cusco. And eventually there, I'm sure you're going to be able to, you know, order some groceries or, you know, call for a ride in that town. Now, is it there yet? No, they probably don't have that standard of living, that need for it there yet. But yet everyone has their mobile phones. And the one thing I did see was payments, you know, people making payments via mobile phones, or at least getting notification that, you know, somebody from the States has sent them a money transfer and it's available for pickup.
It's incredible. I mean, really, if you think about it, because just the way that we, I guess the inwardness or the how we view things here, you know, I think that's one thing that gets away. The other thing I want to kind of touch on with you now that we've got you here is you do a lot of, I don't know, I want to say business, but you do a lot of talking to people in the fintech community.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to, since we got you here and you're in New York a lot, and Kelly Dry is also, are they headquartered in New York?
Yeah, headquartered in New York, yeah.
So New York is like the capital of the world when it comes to fintech right now. What are you seeing in the fintech space? What are you excited about? And where do you think Chicago's role could possibly be? You don't have to answer all of these, but.
Sure. I think that the interesting thing is that I've talked to a couple different groups and hosted some dinners where we had sort of these roundtable discussions. One of those dinners being the Internet of Things, and the other one that I've hosted a couple of years is on the payments industry. And I'm seeing a convergence of those two. I mean, the thing that I'm going to find that's going to be really interesting in 2017, and I want to see where it goes, is this authentication as a service. I mean, if you think about when you go to make a payment for something, what are your barriers? You know, what is causing friction in that transaction? And one of them is your authentication. I mean, how do I go from wanting to order something on a mobile app or that's not Amazon or ordering some food and paying for it using my PayPal account? I mean, how are those two systems talking to each other and quickly authenticating? The device knows it's me, the company knows it's me, the payment processor knows that it's me, without needing to enter a password. And we all have 12 different passwords, and you so forget many. One, and you change it. So I think the authentication is where I see stuff going in 2017. And I think we've got the tools here in Chicago to build that. I mean, we have IoT companies, we have wearable companies, and a lot of that's going to be this constant knowing who someone is and where they are. And saying, well, that's that person.
We just had, and speaking of that person, we just had the CEO of RippleShot on the show, 2 weeks ago or something like that. And he spoke specifically to that. So the fact is that we're moving towards a place where technologically we can do lots of things. Obviously, your app can take a token, and then that enables us to use your Chase app or whatever it might be. But there's a lot of data security breach things that people are worried about. There's the people who put their phones in like these little metal boxes in their pockets. I think people are walking around stealing everything, which some are, but I guess the people who buy those things, I feel like, are the last person that anyone would target. Not because they have the little protectors, but just because you're the kind of person that buys a protector.
So they put like their phone in a metal case in their pocket?
Yeah.
And people just walk by and
they put it in a metal case so that like your credit cards and your phone, so that people can't scan and essentially hack your stuff, which is true. It does happen. But I feel like if I'm 007, I do that. If I'm, you know, Joe Smith down the street in Lombard, Illinois, I probably less necessary.
Yeah, and it's probably more secure if you put it under your tin hat after you do that.
Oh, well, yeah, naturally, of course. But yeah, so I mean, there's a serious issue here, because obviously security is important, but the biggest part about all this is that convenience-wise, the reason we use the tech is that we don't have to constantly, you know, flip things out and put our password in and stuff. So it's going to be very exciting. What is the number one thing you're excited about as we go into 2017, not just tech, just anything?
Well, I mean, frankly, I think that setting aside the authentication stuff, which I'm excited about, is I'm interested to see where things go. You know, is FICO dead? I mean, are companies going to be making choices not based simply on your credit score, but based on...
I sure hope they're dead.
Your
based on the startup entrepreneur credit
score. A lot of people would appreciate if they die.
As a student with plenty of student loans, please die. No, right. I'm just kidding.
So your contacts, I mean... Does Scott know reputable people? Does he have a stable job?
I got that.
You know, not did he, you know, default on some college credit card 10 years ago and is rebuilding his credit score. I mean, it's sort of the here and now of knowing your consumer. And I'm going to be interested to see how companies like Facebook adapt that, you know, monetize it. I mean, there is, you know, there's some companies in Asia that will give micro loans. And one of the things that you provide when you're getting this micro loan is your last 60 days of phone calls, you know, and they can run some algorithm saying, you know, what is this guy's pattern? I mean, does he have a stable family life? Is he calling work often? What, you know, where is he? And I think that's going to be a real interesting development is looking at credit and lending decisions and how those are being made.
Totally agree. I'm going to give you a shameless plug as we head out of this. I can't help it. So as I'm going through the process of taking over Technori, I get introduced to a lawyer who ends up being Matt. And I have to tell you, if you're in the business world or if you're in the tech community in particular, if you go and meet a lawyer and they sound like this and their interests are in stuff like this, you tell me how they're not the most useful lawyer on the planet. I seriously mean that, because it's the fact that I can come to you and talk to you about things that are not and not get a bill for it. Talk to you about things like this is a testament to you and what you guys do.
Well, I know we're on the radio, but I'm blushing for you, you know, listening.
He is. You can see it through the beard just slightly, ever so slightly. Where do people go if you want them to get in contact with you? You can just say don't, but whatever.
No. You can find me on the internet. You Google my name, Matt Luzader, Luzadder, or reach out to me via phone, 312-857-2623.
Very cool. Matt, thank you so much for taking time.
Thank you.
Awesome. We are going to be having our Technori Showcase back. It's finally back
Hey-o.
In town. January 31st, it's going to be crowdfunding is sort of the theme. Go figure. One of the companies definitely going to be on the stage is going to be Ellison, who's been a guest many times. They hit the crowdfunding minimum already on the Republic platform. There's another company called givings.shops. I can't remember. But Ronnie Sage is my man, and he's going to be also featuring and launching his company. We're going to have a couple of companies who are coming from, one from Los Angeles called Wimmy. There's a handful of other companies. And essentially, we look at this as an opportunity for people to learn more about crowdfunding if they're going to get involved in it. And we think that it potentially could be a big changer for the experience at Technori. You could actually come in and get involved with these companies if you want to. Of course, not mandatory, and it's not mandatory to be crowdfunding if you come on stage. So if you want to get on stage, please go to technori.com and send your application in now. We're going to be picking the teams and announcing it via email in the next week. Look for a Thursday email with more details around this event. And as always, you can keep up with our shows, Technori Stories, The Feed with Sean on Facebook and Twitter at Technori. You can follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.